Let me speak to our man, Jerry Lang. Got him out of his bed early, because Jerry on the radio every night of the week, but knows more about records than most of us. Jerry, good morning.
Morning, sir.
Jerry, with regards to vinyl, not only have you been playing it for a lifetime, but you also sold it in a previous life. There was a time when you would have thought it would never have disappeared, then technology cancelled it out. Do you really believe it's coming back?
Well, it is coming back. I mean, sales of vinyl over the last while have increased, you know, quite considerably. Not to the sort of like stage where it was way back in the 60s and 70s, where some of the records sold millions. But, you know, 1.3 million records have been sold this year. So it just shows you that it is on an increase, and it's at a 20-year high compared to what it was. It'll never go back to, obviously, to what it was years and years ago, when maybe the Beatles sold a million records in a month or something like that. But, you know, it is definitely on the increase.
Is the sound of the MP3 or the CD better than the sound of vinyl?
It depends on what way you look at it. I mean, you're going to get a lot more clarity, but there's a lot more sort of like that old vinyl single. When you put the needle on a record, you get that sort of like full sound to it. You know, with a CD and digital music these days, you can hear a lot more detail. But, you know, for a lot of people, when you stick that needle on the record, that full sound that comes out of the speakers is hard to beat.
It's just like I'm looking here to my right-hand side, looking at your kit, because you share this studio and you're the man responsible for a turntable being in the studio, because sometimes you need to use a turntable. It looks like something out of the Ark.
It does to a lot of people, but like, I mean, you look at some of the turntables that you can buy these days. I mean, Head Records in Belfast there have turntables in their window, and they're very retro-styled, but at the same time they're very, you know, modern. I mean, I have a little turntable sitting beside me here, which is plugged in via USB into my laptop, so I can put my records onto the turntable. It goes directly into the computer, automatically it'll record it in, crackles and all, and then if you want, you can actually transfer them onto a CD. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's all that technology has come forward quite a lot.
Is that not cheating on a former partner doing that? If you have vinyl, should it not stay as vinyl? I know I have that kit as well, whereby you can transfer it to the iPod or the phone. It seems to be, you know, forcing it to do something it was never meant to do.
It is. I use it sometimes, obviously, you know, to bring a whole lot of records into the studio. Sometimes, if it's 7-inch singles, that's fair enough, but you can't bring a whole album. But there are lots of things, even to this day, that aren't available on CD. You know, so to keep them handy for your collection, you know, a lot of your old records that you've never been able to find on CD, you can actually transfer from your vinyl onto a CD, so as that you can play it a little bit more handily, I suppose.
Are you serious about that? I thought everything now was on a compilation CD somewhere.
No, definitely not. I mean, I have sort of like two sections of my record collection. I have the collection that's in the garage, which is sort of like, you know, all the very, very popular stuff which you would access quite easily on CD. But then I have another section which I keep in my workroom in my house, where a lot of that is not available on CD anywhere, that I've never been able to find on CD. And, I mean, I've quite a collection of CDs, never mind the vinyl, but there's still a lot of stuff, and maybe also like rare 70s things, you know, that you still can't find on CD.
I'm very interested to hear from people this morning about their vinyl collection. Jerry has mentioned he has some in the garage, he has some in a workroom. I have a massive singles collection, and I display it in the house. My wife allows me in one room to have it on shelving, and it's like you would have books on shelves. And, you know, I like to stand, look, and to be honest, sniff. I love the smell of vinyl.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe as a record shop, former record shop boss, as a DJ on the circuit, you know what I'm talking about with that, Jerry.
Exactly. I mean, there are things there that you take out. I have a collection, for instance, one of my favourites was Gordon Lightfoot, so I have a collection of his, but they're all autographed, you know, and you take it out, and even sometimes you take the sleeve out and you look at the autograph, you know what I mean, say, boy, I got that signed, and I remember meeting him in 74 or whatever the case may be. And on the programme last night, I was actually talking about a record that I played by the Brothers Johnson, and it was a big hit, but it came out on 12-inch red vinyl, but it smelt of strawberries, because the record was called Strawberry Letter 23. You know, so even in those days, they were actually bringing records out that actually had a smell to them. I mean, you couldn't do that these days with CDs.
Of course, there'll be some records, you'll have them in your collection, I have them, and they smell of cigarettes and beer. They've been around so many discos. You know, they know that smell as well.
Exactly. They've still got the stains on them. I can still smell the Celebrity Club on some of my vinyl, you know.
There's a claim and a half. When you were selling records, when you were, whereabouts were you? Because, Jerry, to be honest, you know, I wasn't even in Belfast when you were selling records. Yeah, where were you based?
Well, I started off in Caroline Music at the bottom of Ann Street back in the 70s, then went on to Smith and the Gramophone shops, and then I had my own shops in Bangor and a few other places. But, you know, Bangor in the 80s would have been a fabulous place because I started off selling nothing but vinyl, and then CDs started, and you used to keep them just in a little corner. And then eventually, by the time I left the business, you know, CDs were the thing to buy, and vinyl was, you know, stuck back in a little corner.
Anyone who's got rid of their vinyl, and I'm sure some people have, they've given them away to charities, or indeed they've sold them at the jumble sale, maybe just put them in the skip. Madness, I think. History. I know, again, relating it to my wife, like, she would definitely skip the stuff if you know, if that belongs to a different era. But I just think we'd be showing our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you know, something really special. I was talking to Damien, who was on the breakfast show there earlier with Morris. He's got Ring from ABBA, 1973 yellow vinyl from Epic. And of course, ABBA, I believe, won Eurovision in 74, so no one knew about ABBA, and Ring Ring came out after Waterloo, but it had been released before they won Eurovision. That's the sort of thing, it's a vintage piece of kit to have, isn't it?
And that's the kind of thing that actually might be of value. I mean, we've all got, you know, lots of record collections, but most of them, to be quite honest, aren't really worth anything. They're only worth that sentimental value, and I think that that's the thing about vinyl records. It's the sentimental value that they have. But, you know, looking at the value of records, it's got to be something that is pretty rare for it to be actually worth something. For instance, I think that the most valuable record in the world is worth about £200,000, but there's only one copy of it, so that's why it's valuable.
What is that tune, do you know?
It's the Quarrymen. Who, of course, became the Beatles. Mm. And it was recorded in 1958. It was a version of That'll Be the Day. But it was on, like, an acetate, so there was only, like, one copy of it. And, you know, even the second most valuable record in the world is by the Quarrymen, because there was only 25 copies exist. So it's something that's got to be very rare. If you bought a single in the 60s or 70s that sold a lot of copies, it's not worth anything, really, because so many other people bought it at the time. But if you've got something that there's only a few copies of, then that's when it becomes valuable.
So if you're going round record fairs buying 10, 20 records every Saturday and building up a collection, you're really just getting together a pile of junk or something that you'll enjoy looking at or leafing through.
Yeah, it's all about the sentimental value of it. You know, I mean, take, for instance, the Beatles' White Album that came out. I mean, you know, millions and millions of people bought it, but the only ones that are worth any value of when it first came out, there were numbered copies, and most of them were numbered, but it's only the ones that were numbered 1 to 100, you know, the early ones, that are actually of any value.
Well, Jerry, I'm still interested, and I see people tweeting us and phoning us here with regards to what collection or what they have in their collection and what they've done with the collections that maybe they've had in the past. 90333105, where indeed did you buy your vinyl, and are you buying any today? I reckon there's probably an age group, Morris was talking about, you know, the kids in the sort of the 20s into the 30s who, you know, and I'm describing them as kids, feel, you know, they just feel cool now carrying an LP under their arm. It's like, it's just something retro to do.
Exactly. That is the kind of thing, because so much of fashion these days is retro as well. But the interesting thing about the top 40 biggest vinyl singles of the decade so far, believe it or not, the number one is David Bowie, Life on Mars. Number two is the Beatles, and then number three is Lady Gaga. So there's quite a variation on what people are actually buying, and they're the best-selling singles of this decade so far.
And just one last thing, the modern-day DJ, the guy who packs the big arena, is he actually mixing with vinyl, or is he using very state-of-the-art modern kit?
A lot of them still will use vinyl, but I think that these days, with the invention of laptops, and you can put, you know, I mean, I have a hard disk and I can put up to 250,000 songs on it, and you can take them on a laptop into a disco and play them. So if somebody comes up to you, you know, you've got a good chance that you're going to actually have the track they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Jerry, I'll let you get back to your bed. You're on tonight. Thanks for your time, fella. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
The music knowledge that is Jerry Lang.